Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Every divorce has its unique challenges. Having helped people in many different high-conflict divorces, I know that when children and alcohol are involved, the situation becomes even more challenging. Whether you are concerned about child safety when an ex is co-parenting, or trying to prove your sobriety for custody, finding a reliable system that you trust can be difficult. That's why I love and recommend SoberLink. SoberLink's remote alcohol monitoring system makes it easy to document sobriety in real time, ensuring child safety and providing tangible evidence of sobriety to the court as needed. It's easy to use and has features like facial recognition, tamper detection, and advanced reporting that all work together to improve your life during this difficult time. To help those in my audience who are going through divorce with children, I've worked with SoberLink to develop 5 tips for divorces involving children that you can download at www.soberlink.com/JBD.
Welcome to the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast, where we invite you into a journey of healing and personal transformation that will radically change your divorce experience, heal your heart while refining your character, and set you up to be effective and feel empowered as you navigate the practical and emotional challenges of divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon, founder of Journey Beyond Divorce. My divorce brought me to my knees, and it also transformed me and set me on this path to help you. Our team of JBD coaches support men and women to engage in divorce with more calm, clarity, and confidence. Through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources.
Timing in terms of preparing for the actual separation and creation of two homes, it's really important to have a parenting plan designed and crafted and agreed on before talking to the children about the separation. because the first thing the children are going to want to know is, where am I going to live and who am I going to be with and what is my life going to look like? So I always, when I'm working with parents, bring up the timing piece if they're getting ready to separate, and the importance of there being a plan that both parents agree to, are comfortable with, and if possible, explain to the children together as part of their letting the children know that they're going to separate. And then the children can start to visualize or just anticipate how this is going to work.
Welcome back to another episode of JBD Team Talks. With me today is Rachel. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Today, we're discussing a really important topic. It's the secret formula to crafting a successful parenting plan. And after years and years of coaching people, one of the commonalities is the fear that comes up over parenting plans, and the fear that you may not be getting the right amount of time or decision making and all of that. And so today, Rachel is going to share with us some really solid tips on how you can be successful in crafting that parenting plan. Yeah, Rachel, you want to just chat about that kind of big picture impact and that even engaging in this discussion creates?
Absolutely. So this is a very big step that people who are about to move through the divorce process or in the divorce process experience. And it is a restructuring of the way the family's going to function going forward. And it often brings up anxiety, as you mentioned, about how much am I going to see my child or children, loss, especially for a parent who has been a primary parent because they are no longer going to be the parent who is there 100% of the time. And confusion. It can be very confusing for how do we do this and where do we start. So it can definitely be a very stressful point in the divorce process.
Right. And the other thing, because we work with a lot of men, the other thing that we found is when dad has been the primary earner, there's a lot of fear on that side too, that I don't want to be punished or penalized because when we were in partnership, I did less. So I may want to do more now. And I know that there's a lot of friction and judgment around that. And so let's dive into the secret formula of yours. And the first thing that I think you want to talk about is timing and the importance of timing.
Yes, correct. So a parenting plan can be put in place even if people are living together. So I first want to mention that is that for some couples, it's not time or it's not affordable for them to create separate homes yet. But it can be super helpful to put in place a parenting plan that essentially structures which parent is sort of the parent in charge, so to speak, when during the week and on the weekends, if the parents find it difficult to continue to co-parent the way they had been during the marriage. So I always recommend for couples who are going to continue to be living together under the same roof for some period of time is to sit down and literally map out who's going to be doing what. So I just want to mention that it's not only when you're planning to separate. It's so crucial. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to just jump on the tail of that, because the other thing is, again, back to if one person's been doing most of the parenting, and certainly if you have young children, there's also the opportunity to let the other parent begin to get their feet wet and engage in ways that they may not have in the past. And a lot of times I've dealt with clients who have thought, well, because he or she didn't, they can't. And because of that fear and anxiety about your children's safety, the best time to begin to share that parenting time is while you're under the same roof, especially if one parent has had less time for partnership reasons or for other reasons than you get to see. And sometimes a parent is fighting for time. I had a client, a C-suite client who was negotiating for close to 50-50 time, and yet he wasn't completely sure he would be able to manage it and all of his work responsibilities. And so that parenting plan, while they were still under the same roof, was really helpful for him.
Mm, that's a great point. And for the parent who has been the primary parent more present, it's critical to be able to let go of a certain degree of control during that period, because there can be micromanaging urges and that can create friction between the parents.
Excellent point. And so if your soon to be ex parents differently than you, that's something that you have to start dealing with, as long as the children are safe, that your way is not the only way. And I think that's right. A really good point to bring out in this early stage. And so, okay, so timing, if possible, if you're living together while going through the separation process, can we just talk about what that does for the children too, that beginning to co-parent, have different times with the parents while under the same roof? How does that impact the kids?
So it can be a little confusing for the children, because both parents, if they're in the house, probably have historically created some pattern for being with the children. But if parents decide, for example, with multiple children, okay, on Saturday I'm taking Jenny to the park, and on Saturday while I'm there, you take Jack over to a movie, that it can actually be really beneficial to the children, because they're starting to have more one-on-one or separate time with each parent and starting to develop and strengthen those relationships in preparation for when they will be moving between two homes and spending time with each parent solo.
Absolutely. And I would imagine if you've already spoken to your children, or if the situation is such that they know that there is dis-ease in the household, that that experience of being with one and the other while under the same roof could actually be comforting, because it's a tiered effect to their transition.
Correct. Very true. Very true.
So is there anything else on timing that we want to talk to our listeners about?
Yes. Timing in terms of preparing for the actual separation and creation of two homes, it's really important to have a parenting plan designed and crafted and agreed on before talking to the children about the separation. Because the first thing the children are going to want to know is, where am I going to live? And who am I going to be with? And what is my life going to look like? So I always, when I'm working with parents, bring up the timing piece if they're getting ready to separate, and the importance of there being a plan that both parents agree to, are comfortable with, and if possible, explain to the children together as part of their letting the children know that they're going to separate. And then the children can start to visualize or just anticipate how this is going to work.
So a little less uncertainty will ease any anxiety, or begin to ease anxiety, which would be helpful for them. And so far we're talking about creating a plan, having a plan, beginning to do that co-parenting while under the same roof, certainly creating a plan and having that in place before you talk to the children. It's not always possible. So anything that we're saying today is recommended if possible.
Absolutely. And in addition to helping decrease anxiety for the children, it also decreases anxiety for the parent, so that you don't have one parent wondering, when am I going to have access to my kids? When am I going to be able to spend time with them?
Right. And we're not talking today about the entire issue of decision making. We're talking very specifically about parenting time today.
That's right.
So one key is timing. The more homework you can do, the more you can evaluate this prior to talking to the children, the better off everyone is going to be. The other thing that we want to talk about is the structure of the parenting plan and the teeth to it. Having divorced 15 years ago and just having spent hours and hours on the parenting plan, one of the things that I realized afterwards is once we started living it, there were a lot of granular details that we hadn't thought of. And so the devil's in the details, the more details, the better, I think is what you were saying.
Yes, the devil is always in the details. And so as a lawyer and mediator for over 30 years, whenever I mediated parenting plans with couples or advised my client around a parenting plan and negotiated it, the concept that I wanted them to understand was the more structured the parenting plan is with the more details, the more flexible the parents can actually be, because you know what's expected, you know how this is going to work. And then if somebody needs to make an adjustment at some point, switch a weekend, whatever, it's much easier to do because you know then how you're going to work it out. And so people sometimes resist that level of structure and detail, but it actually helps with a much smoother transition and a smoother routine being developed.
Yeah, it almost sounds counterintuitive that more structure would allow for more flexibility. And yet, as you describe it, it makes sense, because if you know all of the rules and then you're coming and you're saying, I need to tweak this or change this or switch this, you would actually know ahead of time the impact it would have because of the structure in the program.
Yes.
Beautiful. Great. So let's start looking at some of the details. A big one that I know you want to talk about is child development and age. So how do we take that into consideration?
So children, I want to point out first, the children are incredibly resilient, and parents often worry about how their children are going to manage and respond to the creation of two separate homes, and how children manage it and how they adjust is directly dependent on how the parents are managing the adjustment. So the better adjusted the parents are, the less, if no conflict, the better the children are going to adapt. So I just wanted to make that point first. Age and the developmental stage of the child is important in crafting the plan, because children need different things from their parents at different points in their lives. So for example, a small child, a one-year-old, a two-year-old, what's important to a one and a two-year-old? Bedtime rituals, bath time, those kinds of rituals, feeding the child, going for walks. And so you want to make sure that each parent has meaningful time with that child around those rituals. And you want to craft a plan that doesn't sort of ping pong the child at that age between two homes, but also doesn't isolate one of the parents and enables both parents to be greatly participating in the very small child's life. Moving through to, say, early pre-adolescence or adolescence, the child is now much more focused on their peers. And so the child's going to need different things from their parents, and they're going to want to make sure that they can be as active as possible with their peers. And so when you're looking at a schedule, you want to make sure that it's working in a way that there is someone available to drive them to their activities, that there's some, that they're not quote unquote ping-ponging too much and losing track of homework, that type of thing.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, that grade school and into adolescence, and especially in today's day and age, everyone seems to have their children in so many activities. Careful not to, one of the things that I've seen is where there's this huge fighting going on, and then at the end of the day, both parents are needed on the weekends because there's X number of kids going to activities in different towns and what have you. And so paying attention to the children's needs and the flexibility of participation is going to be key there too.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And I've had experience where, and I'll talk about this at some point during this podcast, where a schedule has needed to be adjusted because of the age and developmental needs of the children as they're growing. For example, from maybe one week of weeknight overnight and every other weekend with a parent to 1 week on and 1 week off as the children get older, because some children don't want to be going back and forth that much anymore. They want to really be settled in a home for a solid week so that they can focus on school and focus on their activities.
Right. And I'm just going to toss a website out here that I so often recommend. It's called custodyexchange.com. And it's not, and it's just an X, custodyexchange.com. And one of the reasons I'm mentioning it now is because they literally have a section for every, if your child is an infant, if it's preschool, if it's school age, if it's middle or high school. And so depending on where your child is, they really give you a lot of these talking points to consider and a picture of different schedules. So 50-50 can happen a lot of different ways. They have all these different formulas. So custodyexchange.com, if you haven't checked it out and you're trying to figure out your parenting plan, it's a really valuable resource.
Wonderful resource, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then there's teenagers, where I often think that parents think they're going to have so much more control, and yet teenagers are kind of like wolves in packs, and they want to be so much more with their friends than mom or dad. And so I would imagine, and you get to a point where they're going to soon be emancipated. So I would imagine that has to come into play as well.
Absolutely. And then the flip side of that is that parents who haven't parented teenagers yet have this vision that, oh, my child will be so independent, I'll now have all of this free time, when in fact, teenagers need a parent with a stable home who is very clearly still parenting them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you're navigating those two. And the last thing I want to say on the whole age thing is, if you've got a child who's preschool or just in the early stages of grade school, this parenting plan takes them through high school. So a lot of times parents get very locked in negotiating a custody schedule for a six-year-old. Mm-hmm. They're only going to be six for a year, you know? And I think that speaks sometimes to what you said about tiered. So this is a plan that has to grow with them, that has to make sense, not just when they're very young, but throughout their childhood.
That's right. And it's very helpful to put in place when you have small children at the point of separating and getting divorced, a review schedule for when to sit down and really take a look at the plan and what's working, what isn't. Is there something that we want to tweak or try out, and do that intentionally?
I think that's brilliant. That's beautiful. So definitely think about scheduling that in. Calming the chaos of divorce begins with quieting your mind and getting clear on what you want and how to get it. That's why we created the Divorce Survival Kit. It's an easy-to-digest guide with 5 essential tips that help transform your suffering into valuable insights and your confusion into effective action. So go to divorcerecoverylifeline.com and grab your Divorce Survival Kit today. you know, the different personalities of children and how they handle transitions. What would you advise around that?
So it's really important to take a very objective look at how your child, each of your children transitions, because some children go with the flow. And as long as the parents are comfortable with whatever the schedule is going to be, they can manage and adjust to the transitions. There are some children who struggle with transitions. And so if you know your child struggles with transitions, they are inevitably going to be challenged by the transitions and getting into the routine. So in that situation, for example, it's important to minimize the number of transitions, meaning the number of pickup and drop offs going on between the families, because it can be disorganizing for some children. It can be anxiety producing because for them, they may not feel like they're staying in one place long enough. So just take a really objective look at how your child manages and experiences transitions and take that into consideration when you're putting together your parenting plan.
Absolutely. And there's a big difference if you're going to be living, I lived 10 blocks away from my ex. So every time my daughter forgot her favorite shoes for her favorite outfit at the other house, it was not a huge problem to run over and get it before school starts. Talk to us a little bit about that geographical distance between parents and what one should take into consideration depending on the span of that distance.
Sure. So some parents very intentionally, and you may have done the same thing, when they're separating, choose to be living close by to each other for that very reason. And so that the children, when they're older or when they're driving, are able to go back and forth as necessary with as much ease as possible. I have worked with parents where they come up with what they think is a beautiful, wonderful, healthy parenting plan and come to find out that they live an hour drive from each other. And to put that into practice is impossible and just not going to work for the children. They don't want to be in the car for that long. And they don't want to have to get up, for example, at 6:30 in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning to be driven to school for an hour's ride. So geographical distance should be at the forefront when starting to go over a plan.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And then the other thing is, you know, many divorcing individuals, both parents have commitments. One might be a stay-at-home parent, but we also have a lot of two parent working households. What do you suggest thinking about if both parents are working?
So some really creative ways that people have dealt with this is to share a nanny or a babysitter so that the babysitter sort of steps in whenever the parent with who the kids are with is not available, say after school or in the evenings. That's worked really well for parents who can communicate really well. I've seen and I'm amazed at how this works with certain parents, but I have seen it work where one parent works full-time, has a very heavy work schedule. The other is either at home full-time or works part-time. And even though they're sharing parenting time, maybe 50-50, close to 50-50, the parent with the more flexible schedule is always the parent who is home when the kids get home from school. And then the other parent picks up the child or children when they're off work during their days with the children. So that can work really well. Also, again, the communication between the parents needs to be very good. And it's important to set up a very even flow around that because it does create more transitions for the children, but it can absolutely work.
Right. And And sometimes parents just need to use the after-school programs that are available. Do you have any thoughts on or experience where that is either a good thing or where a parent raises a concern about that?
It can absolutely be a good thing. It can be great socializing for children. It's safe childcare. It can be a little complicated if that after school care is only needed for 1, 2, or 3 days a week and they require 5 days a week. I just came upon that situation with a client of mine, actually. And so that needs to be worked out if that's the situation. Sometimes the parent who is not going to be available after school would like them in the after school care so that they can then go pick the child or children up there. And the other parent who is available wants to be the one picking the children up after school, but that's just not something that the other parent wants. So it's absolutely something that's going to need to be addressed in that kind of situation. And the parents will need to come to terms with it.
Yeah, so I think it's good to just put all these possibilities on the table. And as you're listening, you'll have a sense of what sounds good to you and what triggers you. And you might have a sense of what might sound good to your soon-to-be ex and what might trigger him or her. And so this is all information to help you understand the landscape of this big decision and the things that you want to take into consideration. We've talked a couple of times now about communication. Obviously, for those of you who have found us through our high conflict series, you may have a much more difficult time communicating. So the more you can communicate and work this through, the better. For those of you who are dealing with high conflict or personality disorders, there's nothing wrong with not being able to do that. You're not failing. It's a different path. But the most important thing is what you create works with minimum conflict once you're divorced. And is there anything that you would like to add on that high conflict piece if you are having trouble communicating with your soon-to-be co-parent?
Yes. High conflict co-parenting relationships require even more detail in the parenting plan, because where detail is lacking, it then means that the parents need to be communicating more. So in a high conflict situation, the devil is completely in the details and you want to work it out in the plan. You want to know exactly what time the pickup and drop offs are. You want to know exactly where they're going to be. You want to have very clear language about decision making. You want to have probably a very clear language about participation and attendance at the children's events. And so where there's high conflict, the more detail, the better, because there's less negotiating, then there's less interaction. It becomes more, hopefully, mechanical.
Absolutely. And I'll just share like one tiny little thing. And this was, our divorce lasted forever, largely because of wrangling over the parenting plan. And after whatever, thousands of dollars and hundreds of versions, we started working it. And a very simple thing happened. I was working full time. My ex was working full time. And one of our children got sick at school in the middle of the day. And then the question of, well, is that the responsibility of the person who dropped him or her off? Or is it the responsibility of the person picking them up at the end of the day? And because we were so high conflict, that was more than plenty of opportunity for another argument. And so that level of detail, it just never occurred to us. And so you can't be detail oriented enough, is my point.
That's right. That's right. And don't feel like you're being nitpicky. It may feel uncomfortable. I remember when I was beginning to design a parenting plan with my children's other parent, and I felt like we were moving pawns on a chess table. And it felt so uncomfortable to be talking about our children that way, but it's important. And just sort of sit with the discomfort around it and keep delving into the details.
Beautiful. So those are some key things to consider. We're going to go probably pretty quickly through this next part, which is all of the different things that you want to include in the parenting plan. So let me let you jump in, and I'll chime in when I have something to add. But let's go through that list.
Okay, certainly. So you need to have a regular schedule. Obviously, you need to know what is going to happen, where the children are going to be, who's responsible week to week. And so, as you mentioned, there's a whole variety of possibilities around that. It can be 1 week with one parent, 1 week with the other parent. It can be 5 days with one parent, and then 2 days, and then five schedule. All of these schedules are on the website with the resource that you mentioned. It can be full week with one parent, every other weekend with the other. There's a whole range, but it's important to have that regular schedule in place and to include the pickup and drop off times, the logistics of where that's going to happen. And then what happens when there's a long weekend? Do you just follow the regular schedule, or does the parent with whom the children are with that weekend spend that Monday with the children? Address that head on. Holidays. What are important holidays that you spent as a family? Are there important holidays for one parent versus the other? Do you want to alternate them? Again, you can be very creative, but be very clear about it, as well as school.
Yeah, I just want to chime in on the holidays, because I just have another like bump in our road that I'll share. And so Thanksgiving is a holiday. And in one of our minds, Thanksgiving was a Thursday holiday. And in the other person's mind, Thanksgiving was the beginning of a 4-day holiday weekend. And so, again, it's just there's so many details where an assumption could be made and nobody knows that it's been made. And so you move on to the next thing. So holidays are important, and when they begin and when they end. And if you have Christmas Day, for instance, what time are the kids dropped off on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or whatever the holiday is? So that level of detail is just so incredibly helpful to minimize conflict post-divorce.
That's a very good point. Very good point. You also want to include school vacations and defining again, are we talking about the weekend the children get out through the next weekend, or are you defining it differently? Summer vacations, how much time each parent wants to go away. And you want to have dates in the parenting plan around when you're going to talk about that and by what date you're going to have a decision about it. Birthdays, children's and parents' birthdays, snow days, if relevant. What happens if there's no school because there's a snow day? Who's responsible, like you said, and similarly, with sick days.
Right.
Often parents want to include what's called a right of first refusal,
yes,
in the parenting plan, which means that if the parent who's responsible for the children is unable to care for them because of work or some other commitment, the other parent has the ability to take care of the children before that parent goes and seeks some kind of child care. That can be important to parents as well. It's important to include what happens in an emergency. If the child is with one parent and gets sick or falls and you're in the ER with the child, put in details about notifying the other parent, the parent having the right to visit the child, informing the other parent about what's going on medically, et cetera. Sometimes one parent has to travel a lot for work, so you want some very clear parameters for coverage and how coverage is requested and responsibility that the other parent has to either say yes or no. There's a whole host. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. You know, nowadays there's virtual parenting time. There wasn't back in the day. So FaceTime, Zoom calls, phone calls, how are you going to map that into the parenting plan for the parent who's not with the child on certain days? How are you going to talk to each other? Put in the plan how you're going to structure communication. Is it going to be check-ins by phone? Is it going to be text? Is it going to be email? The more detail, the better. Because again, the less negotiating around this, the more parents and children are able to adapt and adjust and create a rhythm and a routine.
And I would say on that point, when it comes to all things communication, if you are in the high conflict space, there are a lot of apps out there like Our Family Wizard and I'm forgetting the Fayer, F-A-Y-R, and a number of others that give you a place where you can communicate just like texting, but it can't be changed. It can be monitored if it needs to be monitored. And I have found that with my high conflict clients, this is one of the biggest areas of conflict post-divorce is over the children. And so having that communication written up and agreed to while you're doing the parenting plan, that means of communication is really valuable. And the other thing I just wanted to mention on what you said about travel, right, is where are they going? Where are they staying? How do you get in touch with them? Like writing in that you're going to have all the information that you could possibly need if your children are traveling with the other parent.
That's right. And are there going to be points where they FaceTime with the other parent, et cetera? Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I just want to make a quick comment on the high conflict situation around the use of Our Family Wizard or FA Fair, I think you said as well, is that in addition to it creating a boundary for the parents so that they're engaged less in high conflict, it creates a record in case one parent needs to seek the court's intervention around perhaps obstacles the other parent is putting in the way of one parent's ability to follow the parenting schedule or language that the other parent is using. So Our Family Wizard and any other apps like that are just so useful, not only just to keep it simple and organized, but also if there is a high conflict situation to keep a record of what's been going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, highly recommended. We have a podcast we did a couple of years ago. Actually, you can find in the JBD podcast, you can look up Our Family Wizard and Fayer, F-A-Y-R. I interviewed each of the owners of those companies, and they do an amazing job of describing all of the bells and whistles and benefits of using those platforms. So feel free to search those up and check them out. So a few last things we wanted to talk about. There's going to come a time where you or your soon-to-be ex begin to date. Can we just touch on what you would include in a parenting plan in terms of partners?
Sure. So the key components around this provision in a parenting plan is the communication between the parents and then how the introduction will happen. So some questions to think about is it important for the parents to first communicate with one another, whoever is starting to date first, to reach out to the other parent and give them a heads up that I'm dating so-and-so and I'm beginning to think about introducing them to the children and to have a plan together for how that's going to happen, not you know, in a meddling kind of way, but just so that the parents are on the same page. And then to talk shortly before introducing that significant other to the children, and then to check in after it's happened. so that the other parent can get feedback about how the parent who's dating and introduced their partner thinks it went, to give them a heads up so that then when the children come back to the other parent, that parent has an idea, at least from their co-parent's perspective, of how it went with the children. And then they can acknowledge that this happened and hopefully talk to the children about it in a positive way.
And in our Life After Divorce series, we're talking to a number of experts on that when dating becomes serious, and then when you're introducing the children and even more, if it becomes even more serious. So you'll find a lot of resources in our Life After Divorce series on that as well. So can you just, before we wrap up, we've talked about the timing, we've talked about all the things to consider in terms of the children's age and the geographical distance and the parents' work schedule and your ability to communicate and your ability to be flexible. What else, before we wrap up, what are the final tips that you want to share before we wrap this episode up?
So I want to share and encourage people to be as aware as they can about where they're getting triggered in crafting the parenting plan. Really notice, what is this bringing up for you? Are you starting to negotiate in a very rigid way? And if so, is it because you're starting to feel anxious or the loss of not being with your children every single day? And really examine that and get some coaching around that so that you can separate out what the separation and the creation of a new way of parenting your children is bringing up for you, and not enmesh it or have it interfere with coming up with the best plan for your children and your family. So I would say this is a time for heightened self-awareness and for open, honest communication and for keeping the children at the forefront.
Yeah. I have to second that. There's been so many conversations where a client dug their heels in, really due to fear, anxiety around the parenting plan, and ended up stalling negotiations. And in working with a coach who's non-judgmental and compassionate and a sounding board, we have the ability to kind of poke around and get under the covers of what's going on to help you get clear on what's behind that rigid position that you're holding. And is there another way to address your need or ease your concern that allows you to be more flexible? And those are some of the most powerful conversations. You go back to the negotiation table and all of a sudden things open up and move because you've gotten really clear, you've been able to work it through, and you actually then show up differently at the negotiation table. So if that's you, if you're struggling with this negotiation, we always offer a rapid relief call. You can go to journeybeyonddivorce.com/rapid-relief-call or the homepage of our website and book that call and see how we can help you.
Those rapid relief calls are so powerful. And while this often feels like a huge loss, a huge adjustment, it can trigger a lot of grieving. A coach can also help you start to see that there are so many opportunities here that suddenly you will have some time to yourself to grow and to explore whatever you want to explore, to create some new relationships with people in ways that you weren't able to because you simply did not have the time and the freedom when you don't have the kids.
So this has been great, Rachel. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your guidance on this. For those listening, you can go to journeybeyonddivorce.com and even search custody or parenting plan. Certainly reach out for the free rapid relief call if that speaks to you. And we will be back again in 2 weeks with another episode of JBD Team Talks. Until then, we wish you the best.
Thank you so much. And again, reach out to us. We're here for you.
Beautiful. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for joining us on the Journey Beyond Divorce podcast. I hope you found guidance and encouragement to help you along your journey. If you like my podcast, please take a minute to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. You can also visit us at jbddivorcesupport.com, where our team of coaches support both men and women through our one-on-one coaching, group programs, online courses, and free resources. Stay tuned for our next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.